You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies show. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Another good show for you guys today, Tuesday episode. Again, if you're not already following the show on Twitter, make sure you do so at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King underscore producer as well. If you're not already subscribed to iTunes, make sure you do that as well so you can get automatic downloads every single day. Great show for you guys today, though. Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, is joining me for the entire show. What's going on, Joe?
Not too much, man. I tell you what, it's shocking how quickly you can stumble back to the real world, right? You go from the high of a three-game winning streak to getting blown out by the Atlanta Hawks and Washington Wizards. I guess you didn't really get blown out by the Wizards, but, you know, I think everybody kind of got humbled a little bit, some more than others, and you realize that this team's actually not as good as you thought they might be, and it puts you right back to where we were initially in that conversation about whether or not they're actually going to be able to convey this pick.
Yeah, it was, I was obviously out of town when they had that winning streak, and I missed the best, week of the entire season or this.
You might be the problem, Mark.
That's what I said. I might be the problem. I came back and they immediately started losing again. So I don't know. If I have to go out of town again, I'll do it. I'll take one for the team. I'm fine with that. I mean, I spent most of my time in Jackson, Mississippi, so I don't know how much better it was, but I'll watch games from the hotel. I'm fine with that. Anyway, you had a good article that ran over on grizzlybearblues.com, which is really what to start with that. The case for keeping Mike Conley is the title of your article. So without giving too much away, if you haven't read it already, please definitely go read it. But what is the case for keeping Mike Conley?
Well, a lot of it is based off of if you believe Mike Conley is willing to be a good mentor to the young Grizzlies. And, you know, most people would agree that there's not a ton of evidence suggesting that he wouldn't be willing to do that. But, you know, every once in a while you hear a story, an unverified source, somebody saying that Mike is unhappy. You see it on Twitter, especially around the trade deadline. He doesn't want to go to a Western Conference team. He wants to make an Eastern Conference playoff team or an all-star team. You know, those kinds of things that are just rumors. For the most part, folks speak pretty highly of Mike Conley. And when you have someone who carries themselves in such a professional manner, it's good to have that guy around. It is part of the argument, especially when you consider, you know, whether it was Greg Oden in high school and college at Ohio State, whether it's Marc Gasol, obviously for a vast majority of his NBA career. You know, Conley has had a great run playing alongside bigs. You know, it's not Mike Conley that failed Greg Oden. It was Greg Oden's health. Obviously, Mark and Mike were the most underrated two-man game in the NBA, you could argue, over the past decade or so. So Mike, before he leaves the Grizzlies, whether it's in, you know, 3 months or 3 years, he could have and should have an opportunity to develop that kind of a relationship in more of a mentor-mentee fashion with Jaren Jackson Jr. I think there's value in both of those guys having that opportunity and that relationship and leaving the Grizzlies in a better spot than they currently are through the development of Jaren. So Mike can help with that process. As part of the article, I kind of argue, you know, you're not going to spend that money really anywhere else anyway. It's not like Kyrie Irving's coming to the Grizzlies or Kevin Durant or any of those guys. You know, you're not even getting Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker. You know, the list goes on and on. You had to overpay to get Chandler Parsons. You're probably going to, if you are going to acquire free agents, it's probably going to be overpaying in restricted free agency, which is what Memphis did to get Kyle Anderson. That's probably their mode moving forward if they want to make free agent acquisitions. So at least going into next year, I don't necessarily see the value in trading Mike Conley unless a tremendous trade comes along, you know, multiple first round picks, a young talented player like a T.A. Warren, maybe from the Suns as a general example, and a first round pick from Phoenix, you know, that kind of deal, maybe you explore. But I think for the days of accepting Dante Exum, Ricky Rubio and a protected first round pick are over. I think Mike Conley has shown his value since that trade deadline. And I think that opposing teams, especially ones now that it'll be a larger market over the summer, there should be more that is willing to be parted with to acquire Mike Conley's services.
Yeah, I think you're probably right in that. You know, I don't know what ultimately the, you know, it's always, you always have to look at obviously your return. You obviously your return on your investment for Mike Conley. Like, what ultimately is going to happen next season? Is with Mike Conley, is he going to be good enough to get you anywhere near the playoffs? I don't think so. Not with the other roster that's surrounding him. So, I mean, what does a trade look like for you to make sense? Like, what do you have to have? It was the Utah trade. I don't think it was good enough for you, but what did you think besides first round picks? Is there any players out there you think would be actually gettable for Mike Conley in the offseason if they do try, you know, try to move him?
And that's a key word, you know, the obtainable asset, right? I mean, Memphis is looking for a combination of a young player who's under team control. I use T.J. Warren as an example. But if the Grizzlies did T.J. Warren for Mike Conley and throw in Tyler Johnson maybe to make salaries work and the Bucks first-round pick from 2020, you know, I don't think Grizzlies fans would like that trade very much. Now, that might be fair value for Conley, but I'm not necessarily sure at this stage that really fits the bill for getting full value for Mike, especially that first-round pick. And T.J. Warren is another wing who, you know, do you really need another Kyle Anderson? You have Bruno on the roster. Of course, Bruno doesn't necessarily have to be a part of the long-term plans, but I digress. I really do think that it needs to be something, or it needs to look something like a Devin Booker kind of situation. And by no means, I don't want your listeners to completely tune me out now because I said Devin Booker for Mike Conley is a good trade, because it's not. I don't think the Suns do that in a million years. Memphis would have to give up multiple additional assets just to even get into that conversation. But it has to be that kind of a combination, a young player who's under team control, whether it's their rookie contract and eligible for restricted free agency, or it's somebody like Booker who has signed that 4 or 5 year extension already. You know, Andrew Wiggins comes to mind. Again, that's another young player. And I'm not saying they should get, again, he's the opposite end of the spectrum. You might expect more for Conley than just Wiggins straight up. But that's another example, a young player on a long contract, a first round pick, a combination of those two things, or multiple firsts. You know, if the Lakers, you know, stepped up and they offered a 2021 and a 2022 for the services of Conley after they strike out in free agency, you know, I would entertain that deal, because it definitely doesn't look like a LeBron-led team in the Lakers is going to be all that good in 2022. That pick could be valuable. So it's one of those things where you want to have future assets. You want to have a young player who's under contractual control, because at the same time, you're not attracting, unless it's through overpay and restricted free agency. Hopefully one of the lessons that's learned in the Chandler Parsons debacle is somebody that's 28, 29 years old, you know, you don't want it to completely ruin your free agent experience. But I do think they need to play it a little bit more close to the vest when it comes to acquiring those types of players in the future.
Right. Yeah, that makes more sense. Would you rather have draft picks? And you mentioned in your article, and I think it was more facetious than anything real, but that if you could get just straight draft picks for Mike Conley, if there was there are going to be teams that have the cap space to absorb his contract into their cap space this summer. I don't think it's going to happen, but would you rather have draft picks or a good young player under team control for several years that you know is a known commodity already?
Well, obviously you'd have to know who the player is, right? I mean, and I'll go back to my previous example. If it's Devin Booker, absolutely. And again, the Grizzlies would have to give up more to get Devin Booker. On the flip side, you know, Andrew Wiggins, I don't necessarily think it's worth it. You know, it's not necessarily a good fit. The New York Knicks, you know, they make sense in terms of now that they have the draft assets that they got from the Mavericks. If they wanted to give up a draft pick and a Mitchell Robinson maybe to play center, a young guy alongside Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, that would maybe make sense if they're kind of moving on from Valanciunas. That kind of deal maybe could be attractive. But I would value picks, because a draft pick, a selection of a player, is kind of like driving a car off a lot after you buy it. You know, it instantly depreciates once you use that pick.
Sure.
Not everybody's going to love the player that you picked. Everybody's going to love the opportunity that comes with a draft pick, if that makes sense. So I think if you're looking at wheeling and dealing down the road, or if you just want to have future flexibility, you prefer the draft picks. If the right player comes along,
that you think fits what your system will be. And that, of course, is the larger question as well. What front office personnel stays or goes? Will J.P. Bickerstaff be back? You know, there's lots of unanswered questions going into next season that need to be kind of settled before a lot of these things can play out as well.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm probably on the same page with you. I personally value more or value young assets, players that are known commodities more than I value draft picks. And maybe because I'm jaded because of the bad drafts that the Grizzlies have had in the past, maybe that's more than likely the reason. But I would rather value a young player who I know is already good on a good contract for the foreseeable future. And by 4 years from now, he probably likes it playing with Jaren Jackson enough that those guys continue to keep on keeping on. So I'm probably jaded because of the drafting the Grizzlies have done over the years because they are not very good at it. And I understand that, yes, draft picks are probably more valuable than players you have to pay a lot of money to. But again, that's probably just because of what has happened over the past few years with the Grizzlies drafting. Switching gears a little bit, we talked about this on my show on Monday. We didn't have any mailbag questions, so I made one mailbag question myself, and it was the idea that people are still asking. I saw people ask you on Twitter. I've seen people ask us, talk about it in our Slack, our Grizzly Bear Blue Slack channel, and all over the place, is the idea that are we still asking, should we convey? And I think that's a kind of a crazy question. Yes. And I wanted to clarify, I clarified yesterday, and I'll clarify again, and we are not playing for, you know, if we get to ninth, then don't automatically convey. We can always convey the pick at whatever draft slot that we end up in at the end of the season. We're in the lottery. They have to just play to have a chance, a better chance at conveying than they already do. But I pose it to you. What have you told people when they ask you this question? What is your pitch to them?
Well, I'm with you that I don't quite understand it. And there's people that insist that next year's draft class isn't really that much better, which I don't understand, because James Wiseman, who everybody in Memphis is understandably fired up about coming to the Tigers, is in lots of mock drafts that you see the seventh or eighth overall selection in next year's draft. So that's assuming that the number one college prospect is the seventh or eighth best NBA prospect. And the seventh or eighth NBA prospect this year is a center. I forget the name off the top of my head, but a center for Texas. I think his first name is Jackson or something like that.
Like if we can't think of their names, that's a problem.
Right, that's my point. You're exactly right. So I don't understand the argument on that front. I think that I have talked myself into, because right now sitting here today, Mark, they're more likely to convey than not, or excuse me, to not convey than convey. It obviously can change with a two-game winning streak, a two-game losing streak. It's that fluid of a situation right now. But talking with you heading into this week's spot on your great show, it looks like they're going to have the pick. I've talked myself into Darius Garland. I bought into the idea of him potentially being a star offensively to line up alongside Jaren, to learn from Mike Conley for a year or two. I think there's value in that. I've bought into DeAndre Hunter. That's been an easier sell for me, and I wrote about him in an article for the blog today talking about what a Grizzlies rebuild could theoretically look like. And I've watched a lot of him as a UVA basketball fan. I think he could be Kawhi Leonard light. I don't mean to say that I think he will be Kawhi Leonard. I don't think he has that level of skill to his game. But I do think at the worst, he's going to be a better Robert Covington. And at best, he could be a, you know, top 25, top 30 player in the NBA. Kawhi, when healthy, is a top 5 player in the NBA. So I do believe in DeAndre Hunter to that extent as a defender, as a scorer, as a shooter. And there's value in that. He has the highest floor of anybody outside of Zion Williamson and arguably RJ Barrett and Ja Morant. Outside of those top three dudes, I think he has the highest floor in terms of he's going to be a good player. So I've talked myself into those guys. But beyond that, I just can't get fired up for Romeo Langford, who can't hit threes. I can't get excited about a player in Langford who lost 12 of 13 games in a row in the Big Ten. I can't get excited about a Jarrett Culver, you know, even a Cam Reddish. Again, I've watched a lot of Duke basketball this year, being in the ACC country. And he's just not good. You know, you would imagine he'd be a lot better playing alongside the types of guys that he's there with, Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, even Trey Jones, who's a young point guard who is pretty talented and gifted and I think may move up draft boards as time goes on. You know, Duke could have four or five guys get drafted this year, maybe even in the first round. And Cam Reddish, everybody has him fourth or fifth overall. I just don't see it. So I would rather them get off of the obligation, create larger flexibility for themselves in the future, and enable themselves, if they're going to be bad, and in my article today that I wrote about the rebuild, I don't necessarily think they're going to be all that bad. I think they can convey in 2020, as our own Justin Lewis wrote about. But at the same time, if you're going to be super bad, you might as well have the opportunity to take advantage of it yourself and not have to worry about sending a good pick to Boston, or God forbid, sending an unprotected first round pick to Boston in 2021. That is a nightmare. That's a disaster. So to me, you have an opportunity to send that pick now. Is it ideal to not add young talent alongside Jaren? No, but whether it's this year, next year, 2 years from now, one of these next three drafts, they're not going to have a first round pick. You pay for the sin now in a draft that most people, again, some folks seem to disagree. They love Kobe White of North Carolina for some reason, or, you know, there's guys that everybody gets a crush on watching them play, but you have to take into account the larger scale of things and look at how they play, not just in one game against one opponent or just how big they are, their measurables, you know, their athleticism. There's lots of layers to this stuff. And looking in this draft class, I'm either swinging for the fences if it's Darius Garland, as I mentioned earlier, or I'm taking somebody like a DeAndre Hunter, a Brandon Clark from Gonzaga, someone that I know is going to be good. Could Romeo Langford or Jared Culver, could they be good? Yeah, potentially, but it's almost more likely at this stage that they're not, given what they've done in college. And when you have that as your options, you know, taking a 22 or 23-year-old player or taking a huge risk on a project, to me, that means it's time to avoid at all costs. There's too many red flags.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's what I said on the show today. You can't, again, like you said, sending an unprotected first-round pick to Boston in a draft that could potentially be twice as good as either one of these is a nightmare. Not only would it be possibly a number one pick to Boston if you were bad, I mean, could you imagine that? And then even if it's not, I mean, if it's a 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th pick, it could be a deep enough draft where you could get really, really good talent at 4 through 8. And just like you had Jaren Jackson this last year's draft with Jaren Jackson and DeAndre Ayton, there are a lot of players this draft. It seems like it was going to is a very, very good draft in the first top, you know, top 8 picks. You really got players. In the top 4, you got franchise changers, but in the top 8, you got really good players. Now that's how the draft will be in a few years. You mentioned that you did write another article today on the idea of the rebuild. I personally would trade Conley at all costs and try to free up as much money as possible, because you have players like CJ Miles and Jonas Valanciunas who are most likely going to opt in. Chandler Parsons will still be on contract. I would probably try to pay Avery Bradley to go away. I would not bring him back on a $12 million deal. But the name of the game for you was to wait it out, to wait it out to where some players in a few years they're coming up in restricted free agents to try to overpay those guys. Why not try to blow it up, try to free up as much cap space right now and try to get some people in here this year?
Well, it's about valuing Mike Conley in terms of being a mentor, like I mentioned earlier, and seeing him. You know, so much of what I see Memphis struggling with is not having a culture. You know, they don't have an identity anymore. That's just gone. You can argue it's been gone since Zach Randolph and Tony Allen left, and I think that's a fair argument to make. In the absence of talent, culture can drive you, and that hasn't been there. You know, the grit and grind era is a great example of that. Nobody would have ever said that Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, Zach Randolph, and Tony Allen was the most talented, second most talented, hell, even 10th most talented core in the NBA. But they had an identity. They had a style of play. They were going to kick your ass up and down that court for 48 minutes, and you were going to feel that game that you played against the Grizzlies the next day. And that was who they were. That there's nothing there now. It's a huge vacuum of nothingness, and that has to be filled. And I think that if you're believing that Mike Conley is a professional, Mike Conley is the last remnants of that. I'm not asking him to be something that he's not. I don't want him to be a rah-rah, yell in people's faces, Joe Kim Noah-esque kind of guy. I just want him to represent himself well the way that he has his whole career and be that leader by example for the rest of these guys. Jaren seems primed to be that out there in the public eye, smiling face. You know, it doesn't have to be a gritty Memphis-esque blue collar. It doesn't have to be that kind of thing if that's not who you are. People are attracted to natural energy. They want something that is authentic, organic. They want something that's real. That's what made Grit and Grind so special. And I think that Jaren can be that in a different way as he matures. He needs someone to help him mature. And I see the value of Mike Conley in that compared to trading him. Now, if they get the right deal, like we talked about earlier in this segment, then I'm with you, Mark. I still think that they would be irresponsible if they didn't put him back on the trading block just to see if they can get better value and better offers than they got at the trade deadline.
Right.
So I still think they should shop him, but I don't think it's as pressing a need to move on from him as it was, because I see value in him as a mentor and as potentially setting the table for those moves moving forward. Because you got to remember, if you don't like Valanciunas moving forward, if I think they do like him, but if they didn't like him and that player option, if he opts in, expires, obviously CJ Miles will move on or get a veteran's minimum deal if he stays in Memphis beyond the player option of $8 million for 2019-2020. And then the Chandler Parsons contract. You know, people talk about trying to stretch Chandler Parsons. That makes no sense. Would you rather pay the man $8 million or have an $8 million cap hit over 3 years, essentially the mid-level exception? Or would you rather just be done with it after one season? I'd rather just be done with it. And
right.
Even if they don't trade him, again, that's over $50 million coming off the books with Mike Conley still on the books. So you can sign a Jaylen Brown. You can sign, and again, these are all restricted free agents, a Malik Beasley.
Right, you can make them offers.
You can make them offers for a max contract.
Sure.
If you look at Jaylen Brown's numbers, does he deserve a max contract? Probably not. You're paying him for what you think he's going to be, and you're also trying to give him an offer that you don't think Boston's going to match. Again, much like what they did with Kyle Anderson. And that's just one example.
Right.
Like I said, Malik Beasley, you wouldn't max him, but I'm sure there's a number that the Nuggets wouldn't want to match, considering the other guys that they've got to pay in that system. You know, do they value Malik Beasley more than Jamal Murray? Probably not. They've already paid Gary Harris. They've already paid Nikola Jokic. So there's multiple layers and levels to that plan that I think need to play out. Would I love to have Malcolm Brogdon on the team? Yes, but I think they'd have to make some pretty serious changes to the roster as is in order to acquire him. I think it's far more likely that they kick the can down the road, see what they can get when a bunch of money comes off the books in 2020. And like I said, you know, in my article, Valanciunas, I'm pretty sure they have the bird rights on him. So if they sit and wait it out and they want to use that cap space to be able to sign a max type of player, they can just re-sign Valanciunas using the bird rights and they can go over the cap to bring him back. So they have given themselves flexibility after the moves that they made at the trade deadline. And I think that if they are savvy about how they go about their business, which, as you alluded to earlier, they don't have the greatest history of doing.
Sure.
But if they do find a way to being that kind of a front office, whether it's Chris Wallace or whoever replaces him, if they do make a change in the front office structure, there's potential there for them to not necessarily have to have this be a five-year rebuild. I think by 2021, you could field a pretty good basketball team with some young talent surrounding Jaren going into when you have to make a decision about maxing him out and bringing him back on a five-year contract after his rookie deal expires.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good plan. I like the idea you have. I think we probably disagree on a few things, but we'll talk about more that. Joe Monick, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, will finish up with him right after the break. Did you know that you can fill out a tournament bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket every single year at tournament time. You might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion. $64,000 in prizes up for grabs this year. That is amazing. It works out just like any other tournament bracket you would fill out. You just go in there before the tip-off of every single game, before the first game. You just pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it. You could have Gonzaga as the winner. I've seen some people do that. For me, I'm a Duke guy. I think Duke and Zion Williamson are going to win it all. I think it would be awesome to have a Duke North Carolina final matchup. That would be amazing. But it's super, super easy to do. Works like any other tournament bracket challenge that you do. All you have to do is you can play for free. Just use promo code Dribble and you can play for absolutely free. You can even set up a private group to play with friends and challenge them. Maybe put a little more money in. It depends on how your friends like to gamble. But again, it's super, super easy to do. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com right now. Use promo code Dribble to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code Dribble to enter the bracket battle for free only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Welcome back to the show. Site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Monix, joining me on today's show. Normally do it on Wednesday, decided to do on Tuesday today because, quite frankly, it is difficult to talk about the Grizzlies every single day when they don't play games. and there's only so many opinions I have on this team, so it's good to get everybody else's opinion and see where everybody else stands. I want to pose a question to you that I got on a radio show I was on with Greg and Eli, Sports 56, I believe, this past week on Thursday, and they asked me this question, and I struggled to answer, and I gave them some answers, and they weren't really happy with my answers. But they asked me this. They asked me, Greg said, "How do you sell this team? With, you know, obviously they're not very good. A lot of hurt players. How do you sell this team going into next year? What do you tell people to come out and watch? I mean, when you're selling tickets, how do you sell it to people?" And I told him, I said, you got to look deep. There's not a whole lot there. Obviously, they're going to be bad, but I'm curious to know what your answer is.
I think you sell them on a future. And if I were in charge of that organization, I would really drive home the point that there's a future there. And obviously it starts with Jaren Jackson Jr., but it goes beyond him into Dylan Brooks, who we've seen good things from in the past, into Kyle Anderson, who's still young. I think it's fair, if you're going to count DeLon Wright as a youngish player on their roster, you obviously have to count Valanciunas as that, because Valanciunas is younger than DeLon Wright. So they have some interesting and intriguing pieces that could develop nicely, with Jaren being that centerpiece. If Mike Conley stays, you obviously have him as a star on the organization or in the organization. If he's the focus for a full season, is it possible he makes an all-star team? Maybe you make that a driving force and focus. I'm intrigued by what they could do in the draft if they don't convey the pick. We mentioned earlier, Darius Garland, you know, DeAndre Hunter. But to go to, you know, I'm sure what Greg and Eli were frustrated by, and you probably trying to answer the question, who in Memphis is going to get all, you know, psyched up for DeAndre Hunter? Well, probably not very many people. You know, the only guy that would maybe get everybody super excited would be Zion Williamson if they won the number one overall pick in the lottery. And how awesome would that be? I mean, Memphis would instantly become a very relevant NBA destination. Just with one lottery, and that hasn't happened, you could argue, since maybe, you know, LeBron James, maybe right. Anthony Davis, you know, Kyrie Irving, maybe. But I think, you know, Zion's even bigger than those guys were coming out of college. So it's one of those things that you have a 9% chance of that happening right now. So it's not right. likely by any stretch of the imagination that you get Zion Williamson. So in the likelier event that you have an R.J. Barrett, a Ja Morant, a DeAndre Hunter, a Darius Garland, you know, a Jarrett Culver, somebody like that, it's not like any of those guys are really going to get you fired up. You have to sell the long-term vision. I've said this plenty of places. Memphis Grizzlies fans are smart, Mark. They're not dumb. You know, Memphis is called Hoop City for a reason. You see the Nielsen ratings for these basketball games, and Memphis is always at the top. They love basketball. They didn't want you to be, like we talked about being organic earlier. They just want you to be real. Just be real with them. I would come forward and say, listen, we're going to explore trading Mike Conley, and we're going to explore moving on from as many veteran contracts as we can. And we're going to look into a long-term plan where for 2 or 3 years, we're probably not going to be very good, but you're going to be able to come out and watch Jaren Jackson, one of the youngest players in the NBA, play basketball at a high level and learn and grow. You're going to be able to come and see guys like Jonas Valanciunas play the game the way Zach Randolph used to play the game. You're going to be able to come and watch these dudes develop something organically. Once again, not something forced. We're not going to walk around and keep saying grit and grind and all that stuff. We're going to move on from that. This is their opportunity to make this team and their in this era theirs. And we're going to give them every tool, every asset, every opportunity to make this team theirs, starting with Jaren.
Sure.
I think that's how you sell it, is building something and the long-term view of it. Because if you're able to do that with a group of guys that help establish that core identity of what it means to be a Memphis Grizzly again, that's what makes it valuable. That's what makes it interesting to watch.
No, I think you're right. I think the biggest issue I think probably fans have, I know people have told me on this show, I think the biggest issue with them is there is no vision. There is no one, there is nobody saying this is what, like you mentioned, yes, there should be a plan. There should be, okay, yes, we're going to be bad for a few years, but they're going to give them, like you mentioned, every asset available. But I think the problem with that is that people just don't, I don't think people believe them anymore. I think they've been told that for so long, one thing, and then you get another type of deal with this front office that I don't think, quite frankly, I don't think people would either believe them or I think that they just need to know that there is some type of vision, no matter what that plan is or whatever the idea of what they're trying to accomplish is over the next 4 years. They just have to know what it is. And with this team, that there has been no vision. And that's what's frustrated me, you, and everybody else, and everybody in between. And so I think you're right. Memphis fans are smart. It is a basketball city. They are known for that. And they will see through all the other mud and crap and know exactly what there should be looking for night in and night out at the forum. But I think the Grizzlies have to make a front office change. They have to have some type of plan going into the next season, going into the future, and know exactly what they're trying to accomplish, or just some type of vision of what they want to do and what type of team they want to be. Like you mentioned, culture can get you through a lot. And if you have that, you can get through some hard times. Right now, they don't have that and haven't had that for several years. Last question, then I'll get you out of here. Short question. What do you think they do this week? They have three games, the Houston Rockets, the Magic, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. I said that if they can come out of there, they should be able to come out of this week 2-1, but obviously I don't know if they will just because of the way they play. What says you?
I would say that it's far more likely that they go 1-2. And maybe I'm souring on them, you know, just seeing the way, especially the Wizards. Bradley Beal just destroyed the Grizzlies. And
yes,
it's not like Bradley Beal is a bad player. I think he's proven he's one of the top 15 or so guys in the NBA. He should be all NBA, even with the Wizards' struggles this year. But gosh, they just can't defend. And if you can't defend, I don't think you have a chance in hell against the Houston Rockets. You don't have a shot with the way James Harden is playing, because James Harden's a hell of a lot better than Bradley Beal. So if you're going into it assuming the Rockets game is a loss, which knowing the Grizzlies, that means they'll probably win.
That's exactly what I said.
If you expect a loss with the Rockets, and you see them splitting between the Timberwolves and Magic, which I think is completely relevant and understandable outcome, that puts them at 1-2. And they probably need to win 6 or 7 more games to convey the pick, and they've got 12 or so to go. I just can't see this team posting a 500 or winning record the last 12 games. I'd love to be wrong, because as we talked about a little bit before, I'm still very much team convey. But it just seems like they had an opportunity with Atlanta and Washington. That was a pretty key 2 games there, and they had multiple days off between both games, and they
just
weren't
able to take
advantage.
Yeah, it's not like they played back-to-backs here.
Right. They had fresh legs. There's no excuse, and their defense was just gone. So I think, and I mentioned this on the Gary Parrish show last week, I think part of the reason the Grizzlies were having success is there were so many different guys on the team. Usually at this point of the season, you know the opposition, right? You've got plenty of film. You know what
sure.
they're going to do. Memphis looks so different that I think teams weren't prepared in terms of scouting for Avery Bradley, for Jonas Valanciunas, and how J.B. Bickerstaff was going to use them. I think the opposition may have caught up, and that's just going to really negate the element of surprise that the Grizzlies had going for them. I'm going to put them at 1-2.
I know I said that was the last question, but this really is my last question because you said something that it reminded me. I got kind of worked up on my show. And you don't have to make it long, but are you surprised at this point that J.B. Bickerstaff still playing 11 guys? I mean, in a point where in a season where you're supposed to be trying to win games, does that surprise us at this point that J.B. Bickerstaff still can't seem to figure it out and can't seem to know what rotation he's going to go with? One night you have Bruno Caboclo playing 6 minutes, starting and playing 6 minutes. Other night you have Avan Rad playing 20, starting 13, six. I mean, it's all over the place. Does that surprise you still at this point? It doesn't surprise me because it hasn't changed. It's been like this all season, but I figured at least at some point you'd have at least an 8 or 9 man rotation, especially if you're trying to win games.
Either he has a directive from above or he's trying to find something that works by throwing spaghetti against the wall. To paraphrase Julius Campbell from Remember the Titans, culture reflects leadership, Captain. And I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely, man. I probably tend to agree with you there as well, my friend. Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, man. I appreciate you joining me. We will we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Thanks again to Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, for joining me again on this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, if you're not already following the show on Twitter, make sure you do that at Locked On Grizz. That's where we will continue the conversation after the show. Make sure you DM me all those questions for the Monday mailbag segment every single week. Get those questions in via Twitter, or you can email them to me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. If you want to be a featured sponsor of this show, please email me, LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We could talk about it. We have some super, super great rates, and we'd love to have you on board on our show. If you're not already subscribed in iTunes, please do so. If you have a minute, please go rate and review the show. We are on every single podcast app that you can imagine. So if you're not an Apple person, please go to any other Spotify, Stitcher, anything, and you can find the podcast. If you're still unsure where to go, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.